Longtime Today Show weatherman and co-anchor Al Roker recently turned 67, but he shows no sign of slowing down. He was in New Orleans covering Hurricane Ida this week. And to haters on Twitter who said he was too old to be doing that kind of thing, he had this to say on MSNBC's The Sunday Show with Jonathan Capehart.
Screw you, okay? Try to keep up. Keep up, okay?
So Al Roker.
These young Al punks. I will come after them. I will drop them like a bag of dirt.
That fighting spirit is all over Al Roker's latest book, along with a few life lessons he's learned over four decades of telling us the weather. It's called You Look So Much Better in Person, True Stories of Absurdity and Success. I spoke with Al Roker about the book on Skype when it was published in 2020. As you write, you weren't always this confident TV personality that we know now. In fact, you were a nerdy high school AV club kind of guy. And you write that while in college, you got your first job as a weekend weather forecaster in Syracuse, New York. And tell us the story from there.
My department chairman, Dr. Lou O'Donnell, the late Dr. Lou O'Donnell, decided, you know, it worked at the station, WTVH. Anyway, he put me up for the job. And, you know, I went down, I did the audition, and they said, okay, we'll let you know. And I just kept calling the news director. And back in the day, you got to remember this, 1974, there were actually switchboard operators. And the switchboard operator's name was Rosie. And you got to the point where she knew my name. I kept calling to ask for the news director. Well, oh dear, he's not in right now, but I'll tell him you called. And finally, yeah. This one time, she put me through. And he said, look, I got to get you off my ass. You've got the job. I said, okay, I'll go. I didn't ask him, when I start, what do I do?
So you're, I had like, to call okay, back, yes.
You know, yes, yes. But that was my start in television.
That is the theme of this entire book, is really taking a step and saying yes to so much. I want to talk with you, though, about the emotion in the book. I mean, you cried at work, Al. I mean, they tell us that is like the number one cardinal rule is not to cry at work. TV can be so cutthroat. I mean, what lessons do you want people to take away from this story, this you bringing heart to your work?
I think it's about passion, you know, and being able to tell people it's okay to be passionate. It's okay to show emotion. You know, I had a very good role model in my dad, in that he was a very emotional, demonstrative person. And so I learned from him that, you know, as a man, it's okay to cry. It's okay to show emotion.
Yeah. One of the great love stories of our time on television is really you and legendary weathercaster and personality Willard Scott. I mean, I think I learned about the power of mentorship just by watching you two interact with each other on the Today Show. It's a small but really powerful part of your book.
Well, he's just a terrific human being. He literally is like my second dad. In fact, he's the same age now that my dad would have been if he were still alive. Most people in this business are not generous enough to reach out to a colleague, let alone a total stranger. And he did that out of the blue, called me, invited me to dinner. And from that day on, we've had this, you know, we didn't work together. We worked at different stations in Washington, D.C. And then he got plucked from D.C. to go to the Today Show. And I went to Cleveland, worked at the NBC station, and we kept in touch. And then I moved to New York to work at WNBC. And he was the one that, you know, said, look, you know, it's time for me to step back a little bit. You ought to put Al in there. And so, you know, the generosity and the sharing is something that's always stayed with me.
Yeah. I want to ask you about something else. So we're in a moment where so many media people are sharing their stories of experiencing racism in the workplace or racist remarks from coworkers. You tell the story in this book of an anchor you worked with early in your career who said something racist to you on air, not even in the newsroom.
Yeah.
Can you tell that story and what you want readers to learn from that story?
At the time I was working in Cleveland and our station was in downtown, and downtown wasn't a great spot at that point. And there was a homeless gentleman who was happened to be African-American. And one night our anchor man, Doug, was going to his car, and this guy ran up behind him and bopped him on the back of the head and ran off. And there was no harm, no foul. It's basically something that all of us wanted to do to Doug at one time or another. Well, it's now 6 o'clock and we're on the news. And his wife slash co-anchor, Mona, starts to introduce me. And Doug interrupts her and says, Mona, before you introduce Al, Al, I don't know if you heard, but last night after the 11 o'clock news, one of your people attacked me. Mm. And that's one of those time stand stills moments. You're not quite sure what to say. And I just looked at him and I said, Doug, why would a weatherman attack you? And then just turned to my single camera and went off into the forecast. What I didn't know, of course, the switchboard was flooded. People were outraged. And he was suspended, demoted to a reporter, and then eventually within 6 or 7 months left the station. You know, I could have gotten really angry on air. Mm-hmm. And I felt that it was better. And the point was made by kind of pointing out the ridiculousness of the statement. Not everything requires a sledgehammer. Sometimes a chisel and a small hammer can create more impact than brute force.
And a quick wit, because Al, I don't even know if I would have come up with that line that quickly.
Well, you know, look, every now and then, I like to say a broken clock's right twice a day.
You've mentioned your father quite a few times. He was a bus driver in Queens, New York. And he gave you advice so many parents of color give their kids, that you have to work twice as hard and be twice as good as the kid next to you. Our kids are experiencing such a different life than we did. Is this a lesson that you impart on your kids today?
I still do. Even before George Floyd, you know, as we've become more aware of different standards of policing, and especially because I have a black son, but with all the kids, I tell them, look, you can't act the way your white friends do. You know, like my son takes the subway. And, you know, kids sometimes just for fun will jump the turnstile. Well, you know, it's okay if your white friends do it, but if it's a group of you, you'll be the one that's picked out. And of course he should be in any case, but especially dealing with the police, it's yes sir, no sir. You don't try to think you're funny or show off. And it wasn't until all of this that I was able to crystallize what I feel every day. And that is, I involuntarily breathe a sigh of relief when my son comes home every day.
Oh.
And he's a kid who's got some special needs, and he's a big kid. He's got a deep voice. Sometimes he's not aware of the space that he takes. Could bump somebody. Mm-hmm. I just worry.
Yeah. I want to talk with you about weight. Most of us know your journey. And this book is called You Look So Much Better in Person, which I chuckled because as a former television reporter, I've heard this so many times. I also heard, I want to know if you've heard this. I've also heard, you're not as big as I thought you were when people see me.
Yeah, I had the opposite. I thought you were a lot taller. And, you know, I gave the book that title because it literally, I hear it, you know, every day I would go out to the plaza to shake hands. Somebody will say, every day, someone will say, oh my gosh, you look so much better in person. And and you know they don't mean it as an insult. And so you're gracious. Well, thank you. But it's like, dude, it's not really a compliment. I make my living on TV. You know?
Yeah. Is it true that despite having to get up at 3:45 every morning for decades, you've only overslept once?
Yes. Technically, I did oversleep. At the time, I was doing a 2-hour morning show before the Today Show on the Weather Channel called Wake Up With Al. So the show was on at 5. I woke up at 5:20. I was, jeez. So I called in. I said, all right, I'll be there by 6. And I made it by 6 o'clock. And no offense to the Weather Channel, but that was the Weather Channel. You know, the big show, the Today Show, I was on time for. So I didn't quite understand why people were like, I mean, it was in USA Today, for gosh sake. I mean, above
the fold.
Well,
we're going to end it right here. You've answered it, and we are moving on. I know it actually is a testament to have to get up that early every day and never wake up late. So I think it's why people really just admire it, you know?
Well, thank you.
Al, you know, ultimately this book is about optimism. I mean, is that right? And if so, how do you hold on to that through all your decades of broadcasting?
I am a believer in the best parts of people until they show me those other sides. And I think that especially today, we have to be optimistic. We have to be realistic, but we have to be optimistic. And I considered such an honor and a privilege, one of, if not the last interview with John Lewis. I got to talk with him. I asked him, I said, you were out there in the trenches. Does what you're seeing today give you hope? And he said it gave him such great hope for this country when he saw all those young people of all colors and genders out there. Mm-hmm. He said, and as he says, we've gone too far. We aren't going back. And those young people out there give me hope. Here's a man who has seen triumphs and tragedies and is still optimistic and was till the very end. And to me, that's the lesson.
Today Show weatherman and anchor Al Roker speaking with me in July of 2020 about his book, You Look So Much Better in Person, True Stories of Absurdity and Success.